I know there's a lot of listeners who are more informed than I am, but just the other week, I mistook Cole Porter for Nat King Cole, and I also screw him up with Noel Coward. It's kind of a jumble of the great American songbook songwriters, and I just don't have a distinct... Could you just outline some of his life and what makes him, sets him apart and makes him one of the greats, next to Irving Berlin and Gershwin and all these great American songbook folks?
To say that you mix him up with Nat King Cole and Noel Coward, I totally get it. And actually, one of the things that makes Cole Porter great, he would probably take what you just said and write a fabulous song about how people could misconstrue Cole Porter, Nat King Cole, Noel Coward, and he would use his amazing powers of alliteration and double entendre and wordplay, where he would probably put in a few off-color jokes in the song, and it would be amazing. And he would probably create new names that are mashups of Cole Porter and Nat King Cole and Noel Coward, and it would be lovely. Something that speaks to me particularly, Cole Porter's roots came from the circus. So Cole Porter, when he was young in Peru, Indiana, he grew up around the circus. Peru, Indiana was a huge circus town. So he not only went to the shows, he knew the performers. A lot of the performers made Peru their year-round home. And he learned ethic of hard work, musicality, physical comedy from the circus. He actually, early in life, was a pretty funny physical comedian himself. Which is the irony of that is horrible, because in his 40s, he had a horrible accident riding on a horse. He broke both his legs and really was never the same. But during the beginning of his life, he loved the physicality of the circus, and it really translates into his music. His music has a humor to it, a carnival-like atmosphere, a momentum that is unlike anyone else. And like a lot of early musicians, he came under scrutiny, he came under harsh criticism early on in his professional life. The first show that he did on Broadway stayed open for 2 weeks and then it closed down and really never got produced much again. But he endured. The other thing that I think makes him strong, the women in his life, his wife and his mom, were loving and also kind of tried to keep his nose to the grindstone. Because one of the things that informs his music, boy, did he like the party. He partied with the best of them and the worst of them, if you know what I mean. And his mom early in life insisted that he practice piano when he was 6 years old. His mom insisted he practice piano 2 hours a day. And she tried to make it fun for him, but she really worked him. And then his wife insisted, keep practicing, Cole, keep practicing. I think without those two people, he doesn't really have a career. And I would also say for somebody like you, let me ask you, can you off the top of your head name a Cole Porter song?
Oh, you said partying, and I think of Champagne, like that I Get No Kicks from Champagne. Is that?
There you go. You got it. Yeah.
Wow.
You win. Yeah, yeah. Hey, and you know, I'll tell you, don't feel bad, because one of the great things about acting, I did not know much about Cole Porter before I started researching. You know, oftentimes I'm a silly actor. I won't know anything about anything, and I get cast in a role and I've got to do some education. So that's another thing I love about being an actor. You get a good education.
How did Cole Porter break into show business?
So when Cole Porter was a boy, we're talking 10, 11, 12 years old. That lake I was talking about, Lake Maxinkuckee, where he grew up, his family had a summer house there, a beach house. And Cole had already been practicing the piano a bunch. Well, in the summer, him and his best friend, Tommy Hendrix, would be playing on the beach, and near the end of the afternoon, a steamboat called the Peerless would come up to their end of the beach. They lived on the good end of the beach, the high-end area. So the Peerless would come up to take on passengers for the night, and the people would load on the boat for a night of entertainment, drinking, dinner, you know, and that's how the boat made its money. And the captain of the boat would let Cole Porter, baby, young, 10, 11, 12-year-old Cole Porter, and his friend Tommy climb on the deck and dive off into the lake over and over until the boat was ready to leave. So one night, Cole Porter decides, after diving off the deck and climbing back on a bunch, he sees that they have a piano, a nice, shiny piano on stage. And instead of leaving the boat, he sneaks onto stage, soaking wet. And he sits his butt down and starts playing while the boat's pulling out. And the captain, a few of the passengers hear him playing and they go in. And the captain hears it and freaks out. And starts yelling at young Cole Porter, going, "You're going to ruin." He had just bought a new piano stool, and he thought Cole's wet swim trunks are going to ruin it. So literally, this captain is chasing him around the nightclub area, and Cole Porter runs and dives off the ship, and the captain's screaming. Well, the audience, the people on the boat, thought that it was an act, and they applauded. And the captain was smart enough to realize, well, you know, that kid was playing pretty well. And all the people thought this was an act. Maybe we should keep this going. So the captain got in touch with Porter's mom and said, look, if he wants to come, he can't have wet swim trunks. But if he wants to come and play, we could try this. Well, he became the main attraction on board that ship. And every night they would come and load on passengers, and Cole would get on and he would play for them for about 4 hours. And he wouldn't get home until like 2 o'clock in the morning. And this is, you know, young kid.
Did he have to swim home?
No, he didn't have to swim home, luckily. The captain knew he was a good meal ticket, you know. So, but he cites that summer as one of the formative years that began his ability to be a performer. You know, he was also a great improver. He would play the piano, and the engine of the steamboat, or the rhythm of the paddles, he would use that as his percussion section. So he would augment his playing to what the sounds of the ship were doing, which was really cool.
What was he doing in his 20s?
In his 20s, it was during World War I. It was after his time at Yale. At Yale, he started writing full-blown musicals. I think his first musical at Yale was called Pot of Gold. And, everybody loved it. It was a big hit. And, he kept overhearing people saying, oh, that Porter boy, he's got a big history, a big future in vaudeville and things like that. And then after Yale, he went very briefly to New York, and then he went to Europe. There was a little ambiguity, as some people said, well, he went to fight in World War I. And that is largely, that's been debunked. Some people said he joined the French Foreign Legion. his mom was worried about him, so he told his mom he was driving an ambulance so he wouldn't be hurt. But a lot of people say he was over in Paris partying. And I think that was probably what was going on. Yeah. And he was writing. He was writing music over there. He had been on Broadway before he went over, and it was his goal to get back on Broadway. But while he was writing over there, things like I Love Paris, he wanted to get back, but on his terms. His first foray into Broadway did not go well. The first show he did was called See America First. That was the one I was telling you about. It ran for 2 weeks. And he hoped to get back there, but I think he used time in Europe to lick his wounds. Also, he met his wife over in Europe. Yeah, and, you know, it's largely been said, you know, Cole, I think it's pretty factual that he was bisexual. He loved the company of men, but his relationship with Linda, his wife, endured through him being with other people as well. So yeah, there was a lot of that, a lot of I think sexual activity over there in his 20s.
What would you say was a real high point in Cole Porter's career and or life?
Wow. You know, I would like to, I tried to put some of my own appreciation for being a performer. I tried to marry that to the arc of his life. And I got the sense that even though he had so much fame throughout his adult life, I really think he was so close to his mom. And I think his time on the lake as a boy playing piano on that steamship was so formative and taught him to be playful and improvisational, which there's such an improvisational quality to his music, even though it's well prepared. I think those days were some of the happiest in his life. I think his days at Yale were very, very pleasing to him because there weren't a lot of people writing full-length musicals as a college student. And he was doing that. And he also, you know, there were no other great songwriters around him to be compared with yet. I think he was living in this beautiful utopian element where everybody was looking at him to be the great songwriter. And I think I don't want to say he was an egotist, you know, but I think he took the challenge that the Yale community had for him and soared with it, which is so lovely. And then beyond that, in his professional life, I think Cole was very adept at overcoming obstacles. And there's a point in our show, the Cole Porter Radio Hour, where I talk about a big obstacle that had to be overcome when the musical Anything Goes was coming into being. And I don't want to give away too much, but Anything Goes is the result of Cole Porter being at his most improvisational best. That sentence might have sounded terrible. Yeah, Anything Goes is the result of Cole Porter being faced with a crisis and having to work through it and come out of the crisis with a piece of theater that is 10 times better than what he had before he was faced with a crisis. And if people come and see the show, they'll hear a story and understand what I'm talking about. That to me is vintage Cole Porter being faced with a dilemma, a literal dilemma in his life, and coming out of it with beautiful music. And then moving forward beyond that, he did a play, a musical with Jimmy Durante and Ethel Merman. And I know, and funny, as we do this show more and more, I'm always pleased when I do, because I do an impersonation. I do a little Jimmy Durante, and then I do a little Ethel Merman. And I'm always pleased when people laugh, but I'm worried that one day I'm going to do it, and people in the audience are going to go, well, who the hell are those two people?
Oh,
and I will
never.
Be very sad.
Yeah, I hope it never happens.
I know. The two of them, Jimmy and Ethel, they played well on stage, but there was some cantankerous disagreements backstage that Cole had to deal with, and he dealt with very well. And I think another highlight for Cole, he would meet a stranger in an audition room, and if that person was really special, he would be so moved by what they were doing in the audition room that a song would come out of it. One of my favorite examples, there was a beautiful singer, Virginia Bruce. I shouldn't say old singer, old, you know, from the old days, you know. And when Cole met her, he was so moved. And he literally said, her audition got under my skin. And that's where the song Under My Skin came from.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Rob, it's so impressive that you've put years and so much effort into bringing Cole Porter to life on stage and with music on Sunday, October 28th. It's going to be a fascinating afternoon of music and story, and we'll all get to know Cole Porter much better. I really look forward to that.
It's going to be a blast. Every time we do this show, it is a blast. So I encourage everybody to come out and spend an afternoon with us. It's going to be fun. Just before I begin, 'cause I've got you.